When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. Chris Strong getting it in for Peyton Russell, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. Thanks for being a total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. The G-Bag Nation will be broadcasting live from Hurtado in Arlington today from 2 to 7. And Jerry Jones on today with the KMC Masterpiece at 10:30. Not tomorrow, today at 10:30. That'll be JJ. All right.
Has there been an? I want to know if they are going to hit him with the Stephen A. question we asked about yesterday. That would be an uncomfortable one to ask.
Oh yeah, Kevin will do it.
He will.
I don't know if they're aware of the topic. I'm sure Corey Majors is. I don't know about Kevin. Corey's the top total.
Bassick isn't.
No, I was downstairs at what time? Franklin Frankel came over to the studio, probably 11. Then I'm downstairs talking to Chelsea. And Bassick comes storming out of the elevator.
Goes across the street.
And I said, what is Mickey on? And he goes, no, no, no. He was in McDonald's and back probably in 90 seconds. I was like, how did you do that?
App ordering.
App ordering. Has it down to a science. Came out with that stupid S-eating grin on his red face. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
In McDonald's and back up. Maybe he was getting the McRib.
It's back. December 3rd. December 3rd, it comes back for the farewell tour again. Another farewell tour.
I don't know that there's been anything. I get tricked by that marketing every time.
You get it?
Like, I'm just like, I was like,
I can't believe you would actually eat a McRib.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that it must be good, right? I mean, like, and then I try, I'm like, no, this is awful.
I don't
And
get
every
it.
Time I forget, that marketing works. It's brilliant. McDonald's is, like, from the founder on, like, they've mastered the marketing and everything else to where.
Have you seen the movie yet?
Yeah, I had to turn it off, like, halfway through. It was making me sick. Watching
no,
him, like,
I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the Michael Keaton.
No, I know that was making me sick watching him cheat the brothers out of there.
What was it called?
Basically, swipe the business from the founder.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you were talking about Super Size Me. Oh, so that makes you sick. You have a heart for that.
I hate that was their business.
You have a heart for the trans fat used on the fries that were stolen.
That was their business. They got it swiped out from under.
So you
him.
Can't watch that's your breaking point.
It was uncomfortable.
That's your breaking point of discomfort.
It was uncomfortable.
Fast food movie.
I could watch all the look. I could watch Faces of Death or anything else. Oh, I could watch all the gore awful. I need to. I can't see two hardworking brothers get their American business snatched out from under them.
So if Mike McCarthy had a McFlurry, you'd be nicer to him.
If it was Mike McDonald instead of Mike McCarthy.
Yamo be there, Mike McDonald?
Yeah, or Seattle Seahawks, Mike McDonald, maybe.
And what are they doing with breakfast? What's the...
So there was a McDonald's breakfast once a day thing, the all-day breakfast, and the reason it was killed off, the ex-chef revealed... They have a head chef.
Oh,
McDonald's has a head chef, and he said the reason that it was killed off, and it wasn't the pandemic. It was well before people speculated it was, but it's been like that forever. It's because there's too much needed in the kitchen to be able to have breakfast all day. They couldn't dedicate certain fryers and grills for simply breakfast all day.
Workers, there was a Reddit thread about this a couple years ago that said, fast food workers, what is the one thing you hate when people, like what do you hate about when people come in and order? And there were a lot of McDonald's workers that were like, when you come in and order a breakfast item outside of breakfast hours, that is a pain in the ass for us. And so I think it was worker revolt that was basically like, this is a pain. I don't want to make anything fresh. I want to hand them from something under a heating lamp.
And I saw Delta, final fast food thing, I promise. Delta is going to serve Shake Shack. On their flights?
Dude, yeah. Shake Shack is so good. This might make me fly them because I don't even care if it is a Boeing. I'll go down happy because Shake good, Shack is delicious.
Is it that or Five Guys that is super expensive?
Shake Shack's pretty expensive. Yeah. Five Guys is, you over order a meal and it's $16 for just burger, fries, and drink. But Five Guys is delicious too.
I mean, the Delta CEO just became a member at Augusta, so might as well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, him. Remember Sean McManus, the CBS Sports chairman?
Yeah.
I bet I can guess what the Shake Shack CEO looks like.
The Amazon CEO and Eli Manning are the four new members at Augusta this year.
That tracks. Yep.
All right. Speaking of Manning, what a segue. Eli, Antonio Gates, Jared Allen have made the semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All right, we got 6 players in their first year of eligibility, 10 players who were finalists last year. They will next reduce the list to 15. How many get in, Bobby?
Up to 5. 3 to 5 are getting in.
Up to 5.
And then you have like your extra.
So this is separate from the 25 that are being voted in. Yeah, out of these 25, only 3 to 5 can get in.
Okay.
So we're going to go from 25 to 15, up to 5 at the end. Here are the names. In alphabetical order. Eric Allen. Jared Allen. Willie Anderson. Anquan Boldin. Jari Evans. Saints lineman. Antonio Gates.
Hurt you, Drew?
James Harrison. Still professional weightlifter. Rodney Harrison. Torrey Holt. Keekly. Eli. Ooh. Robert Mathis. Steve Smith Sr., Terrell Suggs. This is a good list. Fred Taylor, Earl Thomas, who apparently still wants to get back in football. Adam Vinatieri, Hines Ward, Ricky Waters.
For who? For what?
Who's that?
Ricky Waters. That was his famous phrase in Philadelphia.
Reggie Wayne, Richmond Webb, Miami. Vince Wilfork, Steve Wisniewski, Darren Woodson. And Marshall Yanda. That is the list of 25 that gets down to 15. Ooh. Give us your 5. You said up to 5, Bobby?
Yep, up to 5.
Up to 5.
Tough list.
Pick your 5. That is a tough list. 877-881-1053. Franco and Franco. Injury attorney text line. 877-881-1053.
Steve Wisniewski, by the way, drafted by Jimmy Johnson and the Dallas Cowboys, and they immediately traded his rights for Jeff Francis and some draft picks. So that ended up blowing up in their face. But
all right, let's try to agree. Let's try to start off agreeing to make it easier.
This is going to be tough.
Do we have any absolute no doubters?
I do.
Okay, name them.
Adam Vinatieri.
Oh, gosh.
Here's my question on him, and I believe he is a Hall of Famer and will go in. Do you make him wait because of the other ones on this list?
There's a few guys here who have waited already. There's 3 really egregious waits that are on this list.
Jared Allen and Torrey Holt, to me, are bad waits.
Torrey Holt is the worst wait in the Hall of Fame right now. Torrey Holt should have been in way long ago. That is there's nobody who's been as prolific as him throughout his career that had to wait this long at any position. He's the easiest slam dunk to me. Torrey Holt should be in. The 3 overdue ones to me are Darren Woodson, Jared Allen, and Torrey Holt. They should all be in.
Okay. RJ?
I have Jared Allen as well. Antonio Gates. Now, the problem with Antonio is, was there not a PED situation with him?
there was.
Which we forget about. In baseball, we know every single one of those PED guys.
I forgot in the last 2 minutes. Here's the thing. Antonio Gates, we looked up his numbers recently. Remember, he had 2,000-yard seasons.
They were disappointing.
That blew
numbers.
Us away. Because we thought Antonio what? Gates, Hall of Famer. And then we opened it up and we looked. It's like, oh, dude, he was a compiler. Straight compiler. He was 2,000-yard seasons. He played 09 was his last 1,000-yard season. He played all the way through 2018. He went 10 years, last 10 years. He's Marcus Allen of tight ends.
Let me be the negative person. All right. All right, I'll scratch names off.
I can scratch him off then.
All right, Anquan Boldin is not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Agreed.
James Harrison is not a Hall of Famer.
Agreed.
To me, Eli is not, but he's the most fun name. Robert Mathis, to me, is not a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Fred Taylor, to me, is not a Hall of Famer.
Nope.
Hines Ward is not a Hall of Famer. Ricky Waters is definitely not a Hall of Famer. I would say Will Fork is not. Again, these interior linemen are tougher. Yonda, to me, is.
Yonda, I've got on there. Yonda, to me, out of the guys who have...
Like, we're talking... this is Zach Martin.
Yeah, Yonda was the most dominant guard in football for a decade. So, Yonda's in there to me. The five I would put in, I those three overdue ones, so Yonda the fourth.
Jared, Holt, Woody, Yonda, and...
Earl Thomas, probably.
You made a compelling case for Earl. Were you not here for this, RJ?
You were. We talked about this last time. When we realized Antonio Gates was the same. Earl Thomas was the best player, like was the best safety of the decade. He was on the All Decades team. He was a 7-time Pro Bowler. He was a 3-time First Team All Pro. Like, you look at all of his numbers. He is right near the top of all the other safeties that are in the Hall of Fame.
See, when you run down his resume, it's like yes. When you run down Antonio's, it's like, no. But mm-hmm. I thought of Antonio. I would instantly think of Antonio Gates as more of a Hall of Famer than Earl Thomas. Just instant reaction. Because mm-hmm. it was like Gonzalez, then Gates, and Witten.
Yeah.
It's Gonzalez, Gates, and Witten. Gonzalez is going in. Jason's going in, I believe. So you're like, all right, Gates is right up there. But the numbers, that's why you also have to look at the numbers. So I like to give the instant reaction just in the bar, and then you got to do your homework.
The average...
But the Earl Thomas stuff says yes.
In terms of Earl, because they just list him as a defensive bat, in the Hall of Fame monitor situation, right? They put everybody in the defensive back, but they don't differentiate corners from safeties. The average Hall of Fame defensive back has 3 first-team All-Pros, 7 Pro Bowls, 13 years as a starter, and 1 championship.
That's... all Earl Thomas other than starting for 13 years.
Earl Thomas has 1 championship, 3 first-team All-Pros, 7 Pro Bowls,
wow.
and started for 9 years. I mean, he almost has
wow.
everything as the league average Hall of Fame DB.
Earl Thomas better than Darren Woodson?
So Darren is one of those guys who, when you ask, like we talked about it a little bit last night.
We've talked about this 50,000 times.
But you talk to former teammates, they get like... visibly angry when you talk about how he's not in there. Nate Newton was talking about it last night. Kevin Smith, I'm trying to remember who we talked to earlier this year. We talked to somebody earlier this year, and he was like, the fact that Darren Woodson, like the Hall of Fame is created for players like Darren Woodson, who completely changed what that position was supposed to be. He's like, you know who we stuck in the slot? The most difficult position. We stuck a safety. We put Darren Woodson in there to cover the slot. Deion wouldn't go in there. We would put Darren Woodson in there. Darren Woodson would play linebacker. Darren Woodson was a linebacker coming out of college, moved to safety, played corner, like could have been an all-pro player at linebacker, safety, or corner if they would have just committed him to
one. So Woody's numbers, he has more first team, he has 3 first team all-pros, all right, which is more than Ty Law, more than Darryl Green.
Wow.
He has the same amount as Cliff Harris, more than Steve Atwater.
And all those guys are in?
And they're all in. More than Mike Haynes, more than Mel, Yeah, you get guys like Rod Woodson who had 6 first teamers.
Is Rodney Harrison deserving?
Right off the top of my head, I think of Rodney Harrison. I think he was great, but I don't think of best of his generation. I'll look at the numbers, but
I don't think best of a generation. No. I think dirty.
2-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All Pro.
Okay.
All
right, who's your list, RJ?
By the way, Woodson's numbers are so much better than John Lynch's too, who also got put in.
I think
and Augusta. Oh no.
No. I think Woody is in. Adam is in.
Vinatieri?
Yep. Torrey is in. Allen is in. And then it's between Marshall and Reggie Wayne for me.
Man, I don't think of Torrey. I don't think of Torrey Holt instantly as that was a Hall of Fame player. I think of him as the number 2 receiver on his team. The number 3 weapon on his team. That's just my mind.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then Reggie Wayne, I'm like, he was an awesome 2. Not a Hall of Famer. Marvin was a clear Hall of Famer. That's my brain.
No, and I agree, and I think a lot of people do think of Isaac Bruce as being the top target over Holt. He wasn't. Torrey Holt put up absurd numbers. Yeah. If you look at Torrey Holt's
career.
I don't even
know if I thought of Isaac Bruce as a Hall of Famer.
No.
Isaac get in? He got in.
Yeah, he's in.
Yeah.
And Isaac never made a first-team All-Pro.
Wow.
And Reggie and Torrey both have one.
Torrey Holt, 1,600 yards, 13, 13, 16, 13, 13, 12, 12.
You have the accuracy thing up of who they project, and is it pretty deadly? Do you have it? Don't give it away.
The terms of the Hall of Fame monitor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're usually pretty on?
They are pretty on.
I want to know who they pick. Let's do that. And Bobby says that one former GM says it's time to turn out the lights on the Dallas Cowboys. A 920 version of Below the Belt next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby. Stop the music. Cut it off. I'm like the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, who went on KMC yesterday. They're coming up with Crosstalk at 9:40. My new barbecue bro, it was Dustin Rhodes. I know. I was waiting for someone to correct me.
I had no idea.
My new barbecue bro, Alec Medford, sent me the breaking news from Shams. Luka has sustained a wrist injury and is expected to miss time. That is the breaking news brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with the BetQL app. Download the BetQL app today. Luka Doncic injured, wrist out.
How many games, let's say he misses 10 games, how many do they have to win for you to bench Luka?
None. That'll never happen.
For Bassick to want to bench Luka.
Here's what I'm wondering about.
I just had a nice Luka. Wait, Micah topic in the kitchen with Bassett.
Miss time is so broad. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean like, he's going to miss like 3 days? Or does that mean like they don't know how long and it's that bad, or that he's got to get looked at again?
Let's go to the games. At Denver tomorrow.
Dub.
Dub. At Miami. At Atlanta. So you got a 3-game road trip and 5 in the next 6 on the road. Then you get the Knicks at the AAC Wednesday, at Utah, at Portland, Memphis at home, at Washington, at Toronto, and then back-to-back against the Clippers. So this is not a murderer's row schedule. Mm-hmm. Denver, tough. Miami, Atlanta, Utah, Portland, Washington, Toronto.
Sad thing about the Denver game is it's for the cup, you know, and it's a cup game. So
it's at least 1 week, according to Mark Stein, because he will be reevaluated in 1 week is the word from Stein. So he's out a week. It's at a point right now where they've got to at least just say, we got to give this some time. We can look at it again. So that's where things are at with Luka Doncic.
All right. 877-881-1053. Before we get to Below the Belt, RJ used this Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame predictor. How accurate is it? Who are they saying is going to get in as this loaded class, not loaded with absolute no doubters, but we've gone from 25 down to 15, and we're going to need to whittle it down to 5. Eli Manning, Darren Woodson in the class.
All right, so
of nominees.
They do say, according to this, now they're going to have more people. They have more people than just 5. Like Reggie Wayne in, Torrey Holt in. Steve Smith Sr. is almost right on the line.
We didn't even talk about him.
Yeah, and they're not going to put 3 wide receivers in, I don't think.
It's like Steve Smith to me just thinking of it quickly, not looking at the numbers, like he's more of a Hall of Famer to me than Reggie Wayne. Steve Smith was a one.
Yeah, I think of Steve Smith as being a Hall of Famer more. I think if it comes down to what do you want? Do you want consistency or do you want peak? Because peak, it would be Steve Smith. And then you look over the course of his career, Reggie Wayne was more consistent, like just with health and performance. And
you both think it's no doubt Torrey Holt was better than Steve Smith?
I do. Now, Steve Smith made more first team All Pros. He made two. The other two guys made one. Wayne, Holt, Julio, and Antonio Brown are basically lumped in a four-person category of, like, they're all about very, very, they're all about the same, and they're ahead of a ton of guys already in. Like, they're ahead. Now, granted, some of these numbers are accumulating numbers, so, like, a guy like Calvin Johnson's further down the list, but nobody thinks that, you know, Reggie Wayne and Steve Smith are better than Calvin Johnson, right, because there's a peak to it. But there's a lot of players on here that are in, from Lynn Swann to Andre Reed, that don't have the numbers, according to this, that a Holt or a Wayne do. Jared Allen would miss by quite a bit.
Oh.
The average defensive end has a Hall of Fame value of 104. Jared's a 72. That's way, way down the list. It's so far down the list, I don't have to go all the way down here to find him on this.
So who do they have in?
They've got in Gates. They have in Wayne, Holt. They have Suggs is not in. Suggs is not in. Yanda is in. And Vinatieri is in.
Okay. So this Antonio Gates, we don't care. The PEDs does not disqualify you. Now, just because he's on this list doesn't mean he's going to be voted in. You should ask Shereen Williams. Like, we should ask John McClain when he was on Hall of Fame voter. PEDs in football versus baseball? Like, are they just going to give a pass?
I don't think people care in football.
It is odd. It doesn't seem to even be a question.
But when's the last? We haven't had a test case.
The interesting one's going to be Von Miller.
I don't think anybody's even questioned Von Miller's getting in. I think people just say that it is. Here's
in fact, real quick, Bobby, Von Miller would be the highest graded outside linebacker not in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't get in.
It's so crazy how just like right now my mind. It's probably the way I've been trained as a sports fan. Like, I'm with Antonio Gates and his, I'm like, blip. Like, you made a mistake. Right. And with baseball,
You die.
You cheated. You die. Yeah. I'm in two different worlds. Gates, I'm like, all right, if you make one mistake for four games, should that disqualify you forever? But in baseball, I'm like, you cheated everyone.
It tarnishes it. Yeah. It seems to just blot their entire career forever.
There are two nearly identical situations in football and baseball. Debbie Clemens got a package of PEDs sent to her house, according to Roger. And so did Ashley Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, it's the same situation.
So what you're telling me is
it doesn't matter in football.
Peyton Manning shouldn't be in.
If you were using baseball, if he was in baseball, he wouldn't have gotten in. Because Roger and Peyton they're on the same level.
Yeah.
In terms of all-time greatness.
Yes.
There are three receivers in NFL history that are tied for the most seasons of 80 catches and 1,300 yards. It's Jerry Rice, Julio Jones, and Torrey Holt.
Wow. All right, so that's the latest list below the belt.
All right, let's talk about RJ Choppy's favorite NFL analyst. It's one Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi has said it's done. It's over for the Dallas Cowboys. He says, turn out the lights for the Dallas Cowboys, which is, of course, the old Dandy Don Meredith, turn out the lights, the party's over, that he would always quote from Willie Nelson. But he just went off on the Cowboys and saying that, you know, he talked about how last year the big error that Jerry made was not firing Mike McCarthy at the end of last year, that he hesitated. And he's like, it's very unlike Jerry to kind of hesitate on something like that and to have that issue. He said one of the biggest mistakes any organization can make is reacting too late to problems. Owner Jerry Jones was so upset after the embarrassing loss to the Packers, tempted him to make radical changes. As we get older, change is one of the big obstacles to overcome. We tend to fall in love with our environment. We eat the same things at the same time, watch the same shows, and talk to the same people. It's human nature. Jerry is 82 years old. He hates change. He wants to win, but he doesn't want to deal with a mess. By hesitating, he now has a big mess. In the past, he would have trusted his instincts, made changes, and brought someone in with a fresh set of eyes that could offer a different perspective. However, the past is haunting Jerry. As he said, I've made a change early on a coach with Chan Gailey, always regretted it. I've made a change in season, always regretted it. Now, this is the interesting line here. I thought the little paragraph from Michael Lombardi that I thought was really compelling. He says, you can criticize Jerry in terms of his football knowledge and team construction, but you cannot attack him for not being a good listener. Jerry wants input. He wants the coaches involved and listens to what the scouting staff thinks, as he wants to create a consensus in his building, which is something we've talked about here, about Jerry's role over the last decade has essentially been, I'm CEO, consensus builder, and I rule on the consensus. And very rarely does he swipe his veto pen if the people beneath him have a consensus that they built. He says he might want the credit that all owners crave, which is fine, especially one who loves the spotlight like Jerry. What Jerry needed to hear was his team wasn't as good as he believed. As I wrote about last offseason, they didn't underachieve. They overachieved all season. Those fresh eyes would have told him he needs upgrades at running back. Zach Martin isn't the same player. His defense lacks size at linebacker and power at defensive tackle, and all his team depth traveled with Dan Quinn to Washington. So this is a compelling case. I think it's a good summation of where the Cowboys have been at in terms of where the mistake was first made. Obviously, I've felt a certain way about Mike McCarthy, but that if you really wanted the reset, the time to do it was probably at the end of last year.
And Orlovsky, right? I give Orlovsky more credit than Lombardi. I don't remember Lombardi coming on here with us and screaming, overrated, overachieved.
Right.
And I don't think any of us, I don't believe that they overachieve with their 12-win seasons the past few years. I believe that they definitely weren't good enough to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. I disagree with Lombardi that they overachieved.
Maybe last year you can look at it and say they played a crap schedule. They beat up on a lot of bad teams. And did that inflate their record last year? Yeah, they were probably more like a 10-17.
The thing that they overachieved with all the pick sixes, like the Diggs pick six season and the Bland pick six season, you got to be like, all right, that's not happening again. But I don't think the Cowboys didn't get lucky to get 12 wins. They got lucky to be in the division.
Right. Where things needed to, there was a question that the Cowboys were faced with at the end of last year, which is the Green Bay loss a one-off?
Right.
Were we flat, or did this expose issues about us as a contender?
Right.
And the circle of trust that was beneath Jerry and that had advised Jerry told him, this is not a terminal issue. And the problem is that you entered the season and it now looks like it was probably more terminal and that they had misevaluated it. And to that extent,
yes,
that probably means Jerry needs to hold people accountable inside that inner circle that goes way beyond Mike McCarthy.
Right.
There are other people who probably need to be held to account for that.
All right, split up the pie then for this season. Like, is this season, if a scale of 1 to 10, and you know, if the answer is 7, that means 3 goes to the other one. Is it?
Is that how math works?
Yeah. Is it the coach and coaching, or the front the roster?
It's
like,
it's,
how would you split that up?
I would basically go 5-5.
5-5. I think that's fair.
I really would. Like this, as I said on NBC5.
Well,
this roster got hurt, and the roster wasn't championship good enough. But Mike McCarthy and his staff aren't good enough to overcome that. They're not going to they're not going to do anything to overcome coaching wise. And right now, it looks like they can't even go in with basic plans to throw to the sticks on third down or know when not to fake a punt. But my biggest problem with them is not for the whole bottom falling out and all this stuff. Maybe we can address depth problems, but they didn't act like they needed to do anything to get over the hump.
That's
what we were all mad about. Like, no one cared. They didn't realize, I feel like, they misjudged the fan base. No one gives a crap about your 12-win seasons anymore. No one cares. Nobody cares. Choppy might give the credit, but no one cares about your double-digit win seasons when the second round is your ceiling. It's not good enough anymore.
I think 50-50 is a fine split to say on that front. The problem is that adds up to 100 on Jerry. Is that Jerry's still responsible for the fact that the coach was here and not able to overcome it and responsible for what happened with oversight with the roster. That's why he says the buck stops with him. It does. So this season ultimately gets down to, like, you know, Michael Lombardi said there, you hesitated. You hesitated on the issue.
And the fact that there's a notion out there, I don't know whether it's true, Jerry Jones on with KNC 1030, but the thought that there's a notion out there that Jerry Jones kept Mike McCarthy because of money, that's sickening. That's inexcusable. Now, he could easily come back and say, hey, man, three straight 12-win seasons, a horrible one-off against the Packers. He deserves to finish this out. You could say that, but I think everyone thought McCarthy was getting fired after the Packer game.
Yeah.
I thought that everyone thought that was happening. And just the thought, and Jerry would never, ever admit it publicly, but just the thought that you didn't go get the greatest coach of all time to come in here when he was available because you didn't want to pay Mike McCarthy to sit in a pub or a beach, that's unforgivable. That's unforgivable cheapness and frugality. If it's the case, I don't know that it is. I've just heard it a couple times. Below the belt here on DFW Sports Station. Let's see if we can get another Dak fight between RJ and Hagelin. Cross-talking with the fellas after this. Let's cross-talk with a KMC masterpiece. Thank you, Chris Strong, in for a sick Philip Russell. It's Kevin Hagelin.
Is Mike. He sick from the abuse of Bobby?
Yeah. No, he knew he was going to be sick on Tuesday, apparently.
It's mental abuse.
Oh. Come on, Bobby. Be nice.
I'm nice. I'm the nicest.
I'm nice. What's coming up on the program, Corey?
Guys, we have Jerry Jones moving up to 10:30 today instead of tomorrow. So when we're at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington tomorrow, no Jerry Jones.
Fun.
Yeah, we just
we'll
get to go straight through with fun.
I do want to know what you're going to ask him. I want to know what's on the menu.
I want to know about the Stephen A. Smith situation. Ooh. Since you guys were going to ask that on Tuesday. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to let y'all have
no,
that
no,
one.
You ask
I don't
it.
Want to ask it. I'll let Kevin ask it.
Kevin, you ask it.
What did he say? That he forgets stuff?
He basically, he compared him to Joe Biden and said, when does the family step in?
Oh, goodness.
Now, you've been on a roll asking tough questions, so I think you should just keep it
okay.
Going. Now, make sure you get the exact quotes.
Okay.
We have the audio.
All right.
Okay.
Is that more uncomfortable than, and then he said, D's nuts? Is that,
no. See, because at that point, I was mad because I didn't believe Steven when he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, come on.
No, bring up a family member. Say, listen, my family, I got
my family.
Senility.
My dad
senility.
Had dementia. Yeah, like
my,
dad, he yeah.
got my dad's got it. He's like, I see the signs. And yeah, I don't right.
He forgot he was your dad.
He did. That actually is true.
Bassick is thinking of an interesting one.
I want to ask, because we're all morons here, right? Like, as in, Jerry thinks we know absolutely nothing about anything. We're just media people.
What's our nickname?
Yahoos.
Oh, the Yahoos.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I want to ask, I need to get the exact quote. Marcus Spears, after the Monday Night Football game, said something to the effect of, I don't have it, I need to find it, of the Cowboys do not run their organization the way that championship competitors run organizations. So that would be coming from Marcus Spears, one of his former players. I think he respects him. I think Jerry respects him. I don't know if they talk at all.
Not a champion.
But I would just want to know, not from me, I'm a moron.
Yeah.
From a guy like Marcus Spears, who played in your organization, is saying that you guys do not run a competitive championship organization. You do things wrong.
Well, Mr. Mike,
I know he's not gonna.
These other organizations have turnover. We could have that same amount of turnover.
We're the sixth winningest.
Four or five GMs in 10 years, like these other teams.
Wouldn't it? It's just, I know he'll bring up the stupid. I get it. Is fact that I guess that he's going to run out of this over the next couple of years, that they have the fifth best winning percentage and the second best winning percentage over the last 3 years. That's going to run out. This year's going to hurt because they're probably going to go 5-12 or 4-13. The next year, I think they're going to go 7-10. So then that's going to start hurting his case of, but look at the last decade as. I do think we're about to go through a Campo situation.
And I don't understand that pitch either. Sixth best in the last 25 years, fifth best in the last 15 years.
The reason you don't understand is because it's not accurate, according to Molly Kierum.
It's 11th. She said it was 11th. They did the math. It was 11th winning percentage.
Okay, because I was going to say, even if that was right, haven't all of those teams, probably with the exception of the 49ers, won a Super Bowl? So that doesn't that further the poor play in the playoffs?
The only other, I think the only NFC team to not make the conference championship game in that same time frame is Washington.
That's correct.
And then in the AFC, you're looking at Cleveland.
And Miami.
Well, Miami made it in 99, right? I think Miami made it in 99.
No, 99. That was the last Jimmy year, right? That was divisional round. They got blown out by Jacksonville.
Yeah, I thought they weren't in there since like 93. Okay.
You and Choppy have not fought in a long time.
Oh, are you going to start that?
Yes. So Dak said he teared up after the Texans game on Monday night. Everything just kind of hit him. and he's talking about his, you know, injuries and his play. So we are going to revisit the Dak topic between you and Choppy.
Do you know what this is?
I don't remember.
So a couple years ago, may have been last year, may have been 5 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they all run together.
Okay.
We had talked about, you had said Dak was injury prone. And I had said, well, he's not, because those injuries would have taken place regardless of who the quarterback was.
You're welcome.
Now, I'm still right on the ankle, mm-hmm. right? That would, anybody breaks their ankle there.
Sure.
And, you know, throwing the ball, having your thumb hit the helmet of somebody, I mean, you're breaking your thumb. Like, just about everybody's breaking their thumb.
The ankle led to the hamstring, though.
This hamstring?
Operation. Yeah.
4 years later?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that in general can affect.
I guess it can
get a boot on his ankle this summer.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, say, it's fair.
Here's
now, listen, if you wanted to say that the ankle led to the calf the following year in New England, I could buy that.
Yep. That would never happen to you.
Well, it wouldn't happen to me.
Oh, right. Those diamond calves.
He's getting finger
maybe
surgery.
Maybe a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm getting finger surgery.
So the calves can connected to the finger.
That, by the time what? McCarthy finishes his run here, by the way, at the end of the season, he'll have, during his coaching tenure in Dallas, which was 5 years, he had Dak for 2/3 of his games. He had 1/3 of his games where he was running with a backup quarterback.
Because Dak is injury prone.
So well, you're saying extend him? It does matter how you get hurt. Now, I don't believe.
One time. No. Okay. One time, yes, but it was this year. It was a couple of years ago, and it was a couple of years before that. At that point, I'm not going to go, it's extenuating circumstances every single time. I had this argument with Chris Arnold about KP once. Well, I don't care if it's not a lingering issue. Did you miss time this year, 2 years ago, 2 years before that? Yes, yes, yes. Injury prone.
Yeah, I mean, like, when somebody tackles you, I just can't do that. Like, if you get hit in the face with a pitch and you break your jaw, now, could you say...
Hold on. Wait. You're right. I agree with you. But if you also got hurt for something else 2 years before that, and also got hurt for something else 2 years before that, then I don't agree with that anymore.
So you think Josh Young's injury prone?
Josh Young is absolutely injury prone.
Michael, someone told me once that you played a sport or two. What do you think as an athlete?
About injury prone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's really weird, but I say sometimes God gave you the ability to play at the highest level and play it well, but he didn't give you the body to do it.
And but a bone breaks when a bone
100%,
breaks.
100%. You know what I mean? I'll speak about Josh Young. Yeah, the last two major injuries he's had have not been soft tissue injuries or a shoulder or a knee or whatever. He was trying to catch a line drive and his thumb broke. He was trying to hit a baseball and his wrist broke. But he also couldn't play in the minor leagues. You start adding these things up, and yeah, it's unfortunate, but it also seems like the guys that are injury prone are also unlucky too.
I do think luck has something to do with it, but I was thinking about it with Peyton, for example. I know he's just sick today, but if he was sick again next week or had a foot surgery or the week after that or whatever, would you care anymore that oh man, he's had some tough breaks?
No, you're just, he's unavailable.
Yeah, he's always unavailable. And Dak has become, unfortunately, injury prone.
He is unavailable. Unavailable. I guess I'm just sitting on the word injury prone. Soft tissue is injury prone.
I just disagree with that. We probably are not going to agree on that. I don't think it matters.
That's not a way to solve it.
Well, okay. Do you want me to yell and be like,
we need to fight.
It's the same thing that I said before with KP or whatever example. It doesn't matter to me if it's a chronic recurring injury or not. If you miss time again and again, that makes you injury prone to me.
He's had 6 significant injuries in 4 years and 11 months.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I'm worried about his health. The health of Luka Doncic has become news. Sustained a wrist injury and is expected to miss time. Mike, I know you rewatched the Mavs games 14 times.
I can't. Where did he hurt it?
That's what I'm asking you.
His wrist.
I don't know. And the other thing is,
new sign in our basketball.
He fakes
probably
everything.
Probably his hamstring got to his wrist.
So 95% of things that don't bother him, he fakes like his world has come to an end. I just think about Phoenix.
Tiger Woods.
Where it's like, I can't walk anymore. I can't put any pressure on my leg. There's no way I can walk. 30 minutes later, he's warming up for the second half. So, like, He is the boy who cried wolf, if you've ever heard that story. So you just don't know when he really is hurt. He could really be hurt. He could be out for a month. We don't know, Luca, because you fake so many things. I do think he's the biggest faker maybe in the history of sports.
Oh, my Lord.
In injury, faking injury. And I know there's Dwayne Wade is up there. Paul Pierce is up there. Like, there are people that compete with him for the person who fakes the most injury.
Faker or kind of a baby about it?
I think he fakes.
Okay.
I think if he misses a shot, it hurts. When he makes the three, then he's running up and down the court being... So his... It determines offensively how he's doing. Like, Joel Embiid is injury prone. Like, there's a rumor that the Mavs are interested in Joel Embiid.
I think we might just discuss that to kick off the show.
I was like, I don't want Joel Embiid. He plays 20 games a year and is never healthy for the playoffs. There's no reason.
It's a really good 20 games.
That's fair. Are they 3-11 or something?
I think they are 2-12.
I love 3-11.
And it's just like, dude, you can't trust Joel Embiid. And, you know, just to turn it back to the Cowboys, unfortunately, I think they are stuck with, if you are old enough to remember what Danny White looked like in the mid to late 80s, if you're old enough, which is closer, to remember what Drew Bledsoe looked like or Vinny Testaverde looked like with the Dallas Cowboys, I think we're going to see that 2-3 years from now from Dak Prescott, where you're just like, oh, no. Like, this isn't the Dak I remember at all when he was good, but I just think his body is deteriorating on him.
A special Thursday appearance from Jerry Jones coming up next. G-Bag out at Hurtado in Arlington, and Mike McCarthy with us tomorrow. Enjoy the KMC Masterpiece next on The Fan.